You know what? I came into the industry thinking that I was going to be an ethical hacker. It's probably an unpopular opinion, but I feel like if you have been an engineer, you could do any role because you understand from the technical standpoint. And I presented my career development plan, and I probably think that's the worst thing I could have ever did. Because when I presented it, I felt like they took it and was like, all right, you like to solve problems. We need you to solve this problem. When they interviewed me, like, why do you want your doctorate? And I'm like, I want the power that come with it. God put us on this earth for a purpose, and I feel like this aligns with my purpose. I'm very passionate about cybersecurity, and I'm already a Black woman in a field that's not a lot of time.
Welcome back to the Textual Talk Podcast. I'm your host, HD. And if you're listening right now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, leave us a comment, show us some support so we can get them downloads up in the audio. And if you're watching us on YouTube right now, hit the like button. That's all you got to do. It's the easiest way to support the show. Now, today's guest has been on the show before, but it was 4 years ago. We have Dr. Jeri Spicer. It's a serious matter. She is the host of Control Alt Re, and she's from Detroit. So, what's good, my baby?
What's good?
Yeah,
that was a good intro.
He can't shout out the dome too, because I was like, "I'm gonna put." I gotta put my baby at the end, but I gotta throw in it's a serious matter, and I gotta do. I was like, I got it.
That was a good intro.
Appreciate it. But nah, it's been a while. Like, I'm glad you came pull up on us. It's a little muggy outside.
Is it? Looked better than what Detroit looked like right now.
How the weather up there right now?
It's been hot, but now it's been cooling out. It's been raining, just constantly raining. But I guess I just expected when I got out here it was going to be hot.
Yeah, it's actually been raining. Like, it's been hot, I guess because now it's about to transition to fall.
True.
So that's like, oh, it's the perfect weather down here because it's been, man. It's been so hot. It's been hot outside at night. I'm talking about 10, 11 o'clock at night. It's been hot.
You know, I used to stay here, so I already know. I hated it.
But I feel like it's hotter than it was a couple of years ago. Maybe that's global warming.
Probably. Y'all still get in the triple digits? Yeah. Summer and Dallas, no.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I stay have my air on full. But speaking of, everybody, I know for a fact, all Black people identify with this. Why Black people don't even want to turn their air on when they gas low? Talking about it's going to run my gas out.
I always turn my air on. I don't care what's going
on. Man, you have how many times I heard that back in the day as a kid. Talking about don't run the air. It's going to make the gas go up. It's designed to do all this. Like, it's a whole bunch of stuff people don't believe about cars. Or modern cars, like, oh, I need my car to warm up. I was like, well, they don't even work like that used to. Back in the day, you had to warm it up.
Yeah.
Now it's going to work better as you get in the car and you drive. It's going to make everything either get hotter or cooler by the car just working in motion.
So you're talking about me because I still warm my car up. I put the remote car starter on.
But that's different, though. I'm talking about, like, back in the day, like, my dad had it was my mom's car, then she gave it to my dad. He had a 1984 Buick LeSabre.
Oh, yeah.
That joint had to warm up.
That needed to warm up.
But when I say that heat, when it came on, oh, yeah. Hey, it was right. That car was so old that you could start it without a key.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody knew a person in their family that could start their car without a key.
Wow.
Today's video is sponsored by Aura. Aura monitors your personal data, including your social security number, across billions of data points like the dark web and public court records to detect and alert you to potential identity theft. They give you up to $5 million in identity theft insurance should the worst case scenario happen. They also provide a bunch of other features to keep you safe online, all inside one app. You can go to my link right now, aura.com/textualchatter, to try 14 days for free. That'll be enough time for Aura to find out if any of your personal data is exposed. I highly recommend you do this right now because not only is the national public data not going to do anything to help you, they probably aren't even going to face any repercussions for this leak. I'm not leaving myself and my family vulnerable to data breaches. If you don't want either, you can go to aura.com/textualchatter to try 2 weeks for free. Now back to the video.
That's an old car.
Yeah, but no, it's been a while.
Yes.
Like, last time you was here, you weren't a doctor.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
For the people who don't know who you are, could you just give a little background on yourself?
That's, you know, it's funny when people ask you to intro yourself or, like, tell people about yourself. I always have a hard time with that. Is it just me? Am I the only one?
I do, but it just depends on the setting.
It's just, I don't know what it is.
Because I'd be like, well, I'm a cybersecurity professional. I'm a career coach. I'm a content creator. I'm a podcaster. It'd be so many different things. I'm like, do I say this? Do I say this? Do I not make it too long? Like, how do I just introduce myself?
Yes. So okay. Well, one thing y'all going to find out about me, I am not, like, whenever I'm even podcasting or doing speaking engagements or even at work, I'm just so, I'm transparent. I'm raw. I'm not like I don't want to say I'm not professional, because I can be professional in a professional setting. But I feel like sometimes people may lay it on a little bit too thick. So That's something y'all will know about me throughout the episode. But let's see. Well, obviously, my name is Jeree Spicer. Not Jerry. It's Jeree. Mm-hmm. I go by Dr. Reed now because, yes, I have my doctorate. I just finished. It's August, so it's only been like 3 months. Going about to be September. So, oh, gosh. I've been in cyber now for 8 years. Can you believe that?
Yeah, because I was looking at when we did, 4 years ago that we was just watching before then, and it was a good chunk of change for you then.
I know. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I've been in cyber for 8 years now. I love it. I'm an author now. I got a children's book. It's based on my son, so I got a cybersecurity children's book. I have a podcast now, Control All Read. It's very new, so I'm new to the podcasting world, so be gentle with me, y'all. But it's been doing well so far. I only got 4 episodes. I've been traveling so much, I haven't been able to come out with newer episodes. So I got everybody next week. Let's see. Oh, I'm a mom. Y'all already heard that. What else? What else about me? I'm coming out with a new book.
Oh, really?
We'll get into it later. I'll have you ask me about it.
Probably a Detroit Lions fan, too.
Go Lions. Look, wait a minute. So what's crazy? I feel like the last time Detroit was really, like, hype was when the Pistons won the championship. I think that was, like, 2004.
That's a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. I know. But that was the last time. Like, I remember going to the parade and everything. So it's just crazy to see how the Lions has just – I'm proud of them. We deserve that. Like,
I think so.
Downtown just looks so much better because the – like, I used to work downtown, but it just looks so much better because now the Lions winning and people are excited to go to the Lions. And, like, I date my boyfriend used to be in the NFL, so I try to – he was, like, big college football player. Because I try to be in the sports, but it's hard.
You think so?
It's – okay. This year – I say this every year, but this year I said I'm, like, really sit down and watch football all the way through. Like, I'm going to try.
So let me ask you this, being from Detroit, do you like boxing?
Why?
I'm asking in general. You know, that's a boxing city.
I know. I'm just saying. I thought you was about to say because of Joe Louis.
No. I mean, I'm going to say because of, recently, even though, granted, she's not from Detroit, but Clarissa's from Flint.
Yeah.
And I want to say Alaysha Baumgartner from Michigan, too.
I can't say that. If my boyfriend want to watch the fight, then we going to watch the fight. But I feel like when we lived out here, we watched boxing a lot.
Really? I'm surprised.
I don't know what it is. It just seemed like that's the one thing I can say about Texas. They know how to capitalize off of events. And it's not a bad thing, but, like, Michigan don't do that. Anywhere in Michigan don't do that. Now, Detroit will. But, like, if you go outside of Detroit, they won't do that. But, like, I noticed, like, in Texas, they will. Okay. If a game is on or a fight, they'll buy it so people can come there. Oh, yeah. That's so smart.
Yeah. What's funny is, like, so when I moved out here, I've almost been out here 10 years.
It's the first time I was. A long time.
I know. It don't seem like it, though. When I first came out here, back home in Shreveport, like, I couldn't just go. And, like, people had to get the fight at their house. Out here, you go to Twin Peaks or anywhere. Yeah, we got the fight.
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the only thing, like. That's one of the things I miss out here, but I can't say, like, what sport I like the best, but I will watch sports. But, yes, go Lions. We deserve it. Like, we really deserve it.
Yeah, I like Jared Goff.
Listen, it just, it's crazy. It's like it's almost like how people in the industry do. Like, you just got to come up with a strategy and get it done. Like, it took a long time. Yeah. I think my mom said, like, I think my mom said she was a teenager the last time the Lions won something.
Yeah.
Like, it was in the 90s. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
No, that's true. Because I want to say that's like when Barry was still there.
Yes.
Y'all had a It was like a little window when Calvin and my guy Stafford was there.
I felt bad for him. Like, I felt bad because, like, he worked hard.
It was just the organization wasn't doing what they needed to do at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it a lot in corporate.
Yes.
The only difference is we got the freedom to GTF and go to wherever company we want to go to.
Yeah, that's true.
But actually, last night I was like, before I got a shot, I was like, yo, with the way layoffs and everything else goes, like, tech jobs, they need to, like, most of our stuff need to be guaranteed. I'll say we get it all up front. Mm-hmm. Or some maybe to get paid in quarters. But if they're going to keep laying people off like this, like, we need salaries that we're going to get paid out. Because we don't have no union.
Yeah. And why do you think they, like, why do you think it's so many layoffs?
Because companies lately are greedy. A lot of these companies will just report market or, like, career highs or earnings. And then right after that, you'll see layoffs. Mm. Or you'll see somebody lay somebody out just because they want to invest in AI more. Not knowing, like, their cost is still going to increase anyway.
Right.
And then they'll backtrack and start bringing people back. That's what happened to Klarna. Klarna was like, oh, we thought we was going to go all the way in on AI, but it ain't cutting it. The people that's calling in don't like it, and so we got to bring people back.
Really?
Yeah. I think going to automated systems was probably one of the worst things that happened for customer service. My honest opinion. Every time you press the buttons, you ain't getting the person you want to go to. Like, I just switched to AT&T the other day. I'm trying to call them.
And so, you keep getting an automated system.
Yeah, because I have to upload my last bill from Verizon, so they pay it.
Right.
And I can't even get to the person I need to talk to because they keep hanging up, like, the automated system hanging the phone
they
up.
They keep hanging up, yeah.
So I'm like, bro, this, like, is
We need human intervention. Like, I don't know why they don't think
Every time the little chat box, I'm an agent, representative.
Did you see? I always see, like, memes when it's like, it's a black person on the phone, like, representative, like, yelling loud. And I think I saw, like, I wish I knew her thread username, but it was a girl on there that was saying she just got a job. And I don't know what company it is. And she was like, just so y'all know, I can see when y'all yelling representative. She on the tech side, but I thought that was funny. But that's always me. I want a live agent.
Yeah, that irritates me for real. But it's been a while. And I know you're not doing the same thing that you did 4 years ago.
No.
I don't even think you're with the same company, right?
Nope.
I think, let me see.
Let's see if you remember.
I want to say you was in, like, finance at one point in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you was in finance. I don't remember the company, but I remember you was in finance.
Ally.
Okay. Because I was just getting into finance. No, I wasn't.
When
I
talked to you, you were somewhere else.
When I talked to you, I wasn't at Goldman Sachs yet.
No.
Yeah, I wasn't at Goldman Sachs yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when I first, the last time, I was a business line risk manager. So I was more like on the risk side. I was on the infrastructure side, but I was helping, like, the application owners, you know, for their risk, you know, helping them with internal audits, helping them, like, comply, you know, because banks federally regulated, so it's tight. But I'm not doing that no more. But, like, even after that, like, I completely switched gears. I became an engineer, so I got more of, like, a technical role. I never wanted to do that.
Really? What type of, like, engineer? Was it, like, GRC engineering or what?
Nope. I was actually doing – you would think that I would have just went to that. I was, like – I was a cybersecurity engineer for DLP, so data loss prevention. So I would – what? I had no business doing that. Like, I had an internal mentor at the company, and it was a black guy, or is a black guy.
I'm so happy you said that.
Yes. It's crazy because, like, when I worked on the infrastructure side, it's a black woman. I still talk to her to this day. Her name's Sandra. The only black woman that, like, she really kept me there. Because at first, like, I was thinking, like, I'm not going to stay here because I never wanted to work for a bank. That's just, like, I say that all the time. I never wanted to work for a bank. Maybe because of all the stigma I heard. But then my first company that I worked for, it was, like, was small, and it was like, I guess you can call it, like, education is basically what they sector would be. But I'm like, I never want to work for a bank. But I loved it. Like, she made me love it. And then, so I was, like, networking, and I went to visit Charlotte. And, like, this other guy that she introduced me to, he was like, oh, like, I want you to meet my boss or whatever. And then when I saw his boss, I'm like, oh, you report to a black guy. Like, I don't know why. It's crazy. That should not be shocking to us.
You know why it's shocking. It's not even us being funny.
It's not, but it shouldn't be shocking. But I was so shocked. And then, like, when I first got to Al, I was young. I think I was, like, 22, or 23. So to me, I'm like, I just assumed what corporate was.
No, I mean, but even now, like, you rarely see the head of the program going to be somebody black, whether it's a woman or it's a man.
Yes. So I got cool with him. It's funny because, like, you know how people, you know how we were just talking about the whole name thing. And, like, you know how people have a name and you just naturally shorten it? I naturally shortened his name. He was like, that's not my name. Like, he corrected me the way I was like, I'm sorry. Like, and you know, from that point, he gave me homework. He started asking, like, well, why do you want to be in cyber? He like, you already don't know how to, like, pronounce people's names. He was, man, he get on my nerves. I still talk to him to this day. But he was like, it was confusing, though, because it was another guy that I just met that had his name, that shortened his name.
Oh.
So that's why, but I didn't mean it. So he actually started, like, mentoring me. And he was like, I want you to tell me, like, why you want to be in cyber, or, like, you know, what do you want to get from it? What, you know, what's your career? He even told me, like, yeah, you need to meet with the CIO. Why would I do that? Why? He like, why not? He was like, he's just a guy. He like, when you go outside, like, I love this saying, like, how sometimes we see executive leadership and we just like, oh, like they celebrities or something. But when we leave work, what if you never met them? Like, what if you didn't know that they was executive leadership? You would just think that they're just a person walking past. So that's how he told me to treat it. Gave me all this homework. So, like, maybe, like, 2 years passed. He said, I just had got promoted. Like, I'm talking about I was promoted in June. And he coming to me in July, like, yeah, I want you to apply for this role. No. I didn't want to be looked at as, like, a job hopper because I was pretty consistent, like, keeping my roles for 2 to 3 years. He, like, well, I'm gonna just go to, like, so where I worked at, they have, like, an overall CIO. And then, like, under him, he has individual CIOs.
Yeah.
Do it work like that at other places?
Most of the time. It's like a very head of the org.
Right.
And then they all report to the top person.
Correct. So the individual CIO I was under in infrastructure, my internal mentor was like, well, I'm gonna just go to him. And I'm going to just tell him that I want you to apply to this role. I thought he was playing. He was serious. I'm like, so I applied for this role, and I had no idea anything about engineering. I just had the company experience. Like, I knew about the organization. I got into engineering, and I couldn't believe it. I hated engineering when I first got into it. I'm like, this is the worst thing ever. Now, it's a couple jobs that I said I would never do. Shout out to everybody that's in, what is that?
Childcare.
I did that.
I know. That's what I said. I was just going to say child care.
You know what? I guess you can say that because that's why I'm like, I never wanted to do that, though. I always wanted to be a lawyer. But in cyber, I said I would never do incident response or SOC.
Why not?
Hey, I'm sorry. Shout out to y'all.
Well, why? But I could see the SOC stuff, but IER is pretty fun. Mm-mm.
You know what? I came into the industry thinking that I was going to be an ethical hacker. I watched too much TV.
You was watching Mr. Robot?
You know what? I haven't even seen that show. I heard about it.
I watched it like a couple episodes.
And is it good?
It was cool for what it was, but I didn't really go back and watch it.
So I had a stigma. I always thought engineers was like hands on keyboard, just boring. But I actually have fun being an engineer. I love it. I would go back and engineer today because I don't do that now. But moral of the story, I got on his team, and then my manager was also black. I still talk to him to this day. Like, it's so important for people to, like, realize that you, like, for me, you always will meet one manager, I feel like, that you will always work for. I will work for him. I don't care where he go.
Yeah, I got a manager like that.
Like, he was just a great, like, if everybody could be like him, I think it's because he always treated his team as person first, then work. And, like, he would let us make mistakes, but then would teach us how. Also, he was, like, we in the same age. I thought that was, like, I'm like, this is great. Like, I thought it was going to be tough reporting to somebody, like, we in the same age range. I'm like.
Yeah. Ah, that's funny. So, you had a millennial manager.
Yes.
We just had a pod a couple of weeks ago where I was going through an article, and it was talking about how pretty much it's, well, for one, boomers are skipping over making Gen X managers and going to millennials.
Right.
And then they was trying to say all these things about millennials and how they or this or that. And I was like, just pretty much calling like cap on a lot of stuff. Because I was like, nah, millennials are, they know how to deal with people. They are really big on like mental health now, how you doing, all these other things. Like, that's going to be like the best manager that you probably have.
That's what I said. Like, and he is still the best manager to this day. Like, hands down. I just talked to him yesterday. Like, I still keep in contact with him because, like, he showed me how to be an engineer. And, like, I think the only thing, like, I didn't know how to be an engineer. I had my two teammates. I'm going to say their name, Greg and Jared, because I love them. Like, they're my homies. I love them. Because, like, we were really, like, a trio. Mm-hmm. Like, Jared, he was just coming into the industry. So, this was his first job. So, he went through a boot camp. Greg came from, like, the Army. So, like,
oh, yeah, he was.
He just had, like, he had the experience. And then me, I just had the company experience. So, like, us together, I'm so cool with them to this day. Like, we meshed so well, and we had to deploy two tools. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. What, working at night? What? You want to work? It was a shift, but I ended up loving it. But, like, what I brought to the team, I brought a lot of strategy. I brought a lot of process improvements because people think just because you engineer, it's not all technical.
Oh, nah. Man, you're going to be, you got a two-week sprint to get this done. Put all your stuff in Jira.
So, you know, it's crazy. Like, when I first got over into engineering, we did not have Scrum. We were using Jira, but we was using it our way. And then, like, maybe 2 years, no, 3 years into me being an engineer, the company was like, all right, we're going to Scrum. I'm like, what? What is that? Like, I heard of it, but I never really looked into it because we never had to use it. Mm-hmm. And then that's when everything switched. Like, I went from an engineer to, I had to learn everything. Scrum master roles and responsibilities, product owner roles and responsibilities. I really like the strategy and the roadmap. I love all of that. And I'm like, oh, I want to get into product management. But they didn't think that. They like, we need you to like run a squad. I'm like, run a squad? Like a scrum master? But they didn't call it scrum master. They called it delivery lead.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay. And like, my friends would probably laugh because they like, I always say like, I don't want to do that. I never wanted to do that. Like, I kind of made it a point because it was like, this is exhausting. But I think, like, because I was an engineer, it's probably an unpopular opinion, but I feel like if you have been an engineer, you could do any role because you understand from the technical standpoint. And I think that that's what my teammates appreciated. Even when I ended up getting removed from that team and starting to support two other squads, they just appreciated the fact that I was an engineer. So, like, I wasn't pressuring them, rushing them, because I understand you got to put a CR through to get certain things done. You got to probably go through three different environments, dev, model, prod. Like, nobody is just pushing something straight to production. So I think that benefited me, but I wanted to be a product owner. It didn't happen. So I left because I felt like my career wasn't really being taken seriously. I felt like up until that point, like, I was getting whatever I wanted. Like, that's why I stayed there. Like, I know 6 years wasn't a long time, but, like,
it is a long time.
I know. So many people was writing me, like, that's actually a long time. They, like, especially for, like, millennials. Like, and I'm like, we're not job hoppers. But, like, to your point, we, you know, we will do what's best for ourselves. I ain't as worse. Like, now you know who cutthroat. Gen Z, they cutthroat. I'm out. I respect them for that. They're not going to stick around and deal with anything. Because I think the generation before us, they will stick around.
Yeah, of course. That's why they were so miserable. That's why Gen X miserable now.
Yeah. So, like, for me, I think the person that I was talking about that's, like, the best manager ever, one thing he did, like, that is crazy. People probably going to talk about me, like, why would you, like, decline that? They was going to give me a manager position to be, like, over engineering. I said no. It wasn't that I didn't think I could do it. I think I was just going through this, like, thing where, again, having that stigma of engineering and, like, kind of looking at how my boss was. And it's like he just did it so flawlessly. Even though he made mistakes, he just did it so flawlessly. He was a great leader. And my teammates like, just do it, because, like, you will be over us. Like, it'll be cool. And I'm like, no. Like, I just... I don't know. I kind of regret that, though. Okay, not kind of. I do regret it.
No. I feel you on that because before I was going to Goldman Sachs, I was about to be approached to be the manager of my SOC team.
What happened?
I knew I needed to leave because internally they probably wasn't going to be able to give me monetarily what I needed.
Right.
Going to Goldman Sachs, I think I signed my offer right before my second child was born.
Okay.
So I was like, I got to take this.
Yeah.
I had to. And they understood. But I definitely regret it just because that's like the only company that I was at that were, not necessarily I got what I wanted, but I got to grow.
Yeah. That was me too. Like, that was the thing. Like, I was growing, which is why I never felt the need to, like, look or do anything of that. Like, anytime I went to conferences, I just was there to talk to people. Like, I've never really imagined, like, applying somewhere else. But it got to a point where one thing that they had us do is, like, set up your career development plan. Mm-hmm. I actually, I was a part of this, like, tech community there called Black, Hispanic, and Latino in Technology. And we as in me and my friend Mashiah, we started this career development and action series. And we wanted people to build out your plan. Like, it don't matter if you gonna be here or not, like, build it out. And I like that Ally did that. They, like, it used to be 10 years. I'm like, y'all got me thinking way too far in advance. But then they changed it, like, okay, we're gonna do 5 years. So once I did that, I started to notice, like, okay, where am I going? Because, like, where I'm at right now is not meeting my goals. And when I moved from engineering, it was a certain team that I wanted to go to. But then, you know how corporate is. Things change, visions change, strategies change.
Leadership changed.
Leadership changed, and that's what happened. Leadership changed within that space, who was over, because I was a part of the cybersecurity technology side. So the way it was broken up, that's pretty much where all of engineering was at. And leadership changed. Not because, like, they wanted to. It had, like, it changed because somebody left. So they had their own vision, which rightfully so. Any leader that comes in has a right to, like, kind of look at everything, assess, and do a strategy. And I presented my career development plan, and I probably think that's the worst thing I could have ever did. Because when I presented it, I felt like they took it and was like, all right, you like to solve problems. We need you to solve this problem. Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. I felt like, for me, my career started going downhill. And once I noticed, like, I think, and I said a lot of this stuff during my exit interview, like, I kind of felt like I didn't know where I was going. And I kind of felt like I was being bounced all over the place. Like, I went back literally before I left. I went back to my manager, like, can you put me back on engineering? Like, I'll do whatever. Like, because it just was getting to a point, like, where it didn't make sense. So I had to make the difficult decision. Well, I finished school, and I had to make a difficult decision. And it had nothing to do with school. It had everything to do with my career. I had been looking for a while, but we know how the industry is. Like, I've been looking since last year. I went to Afrotech. Was that last year? Yep, I went to Afrotech last year. I never talked to that many companies. Even when I went in 2022, mm-hmm. I was there with my company.
Same.
So I wasn't talking to that many companies.
Listen.
Was you at the booth?
Nah.
Okay.
I was supposed to work the booth, but they were so unorganized that the day I was supposed to go to the booth had already passed over. But no, what's so funny is that I was down there at the time. I was working for JP Morgan.
Okay.
But I had a verbal offer to be working for Yahoo. So I was down there like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be working.
Yeah.
Just for, you know, in 2023, people were kind of scared. Well, going into 2023, they were scared about the market and what's going to happen. So that offer had got to put on hold. They had to pull the rec. But they was dope about it. The director hit me the next couple of months like, yo, we opening the rec back up. Are you still interested? And by that time, I had already accepted the current role. I mean, now. But I was just like, I definitely feel you on that. There was a lot of companies down there. And I know from our standpoint, from Chase standpoint, they was down there ready to hire people.
That line was too long. I was going around. I was looking. But I'm like, I don't think I'm really serious. But I had a lot of connections, and I'm like, okay, we'll see. But I knew I wanted to get serious because the way that things started going, I'm like, this is not going to work for me. So I finished school. That was months that went past, and I was applying. I got a career strategist, so she did my resume, and she like, you wasn't getting no bite back because this resume was trash.
And I'm kind of mad because you could have just came to me.
Why you mad?
You could have just came to me.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't think you did that anymore. I thought you put that to the side. No, I'm going to tell you why. I was sending people to you, and I feel like you was like, you was taking a break from that.
Mm-mm, I never stopped. I had like, I may have had some time where if I was like adjusting some stuff in my schedule, I probably would like close down calls and stuff from time to time. I never stopped. I just had like three or four resumes I just did like last week.
Oh, for real? I thought you was just...
Oh, nah. Because I always tell people, the reason why I tell people to come to me is like, well, shoot, I'm in the industry. So like where one person may be really good at extrapolating keywords and kind of putting them together and all those stuff. It's like, yeah, but they don't really know because they ain't never worked it or been the person asking you the questions on the other end. If I ask you something about this, hey, okay, you said you did SOC 2 before. Like, explain me SOC 2. Like, I just want you to tell me about it. And if you can't, I'm saying, okay, well, we can't leave this on here unless you understand how you're going to explain this stuff. Like, my goal was never be interested just to make you have the best looking resume. I wanted it to just be something that you can also talk about. Which is why I wasn't never big on just making you look, come get a resume from me and then go off on your way.
That's the one thing, like, about her. Mm-hmm. I appreciate her. She has worked in the industry. She done had several, she pretty much did every role you can think of in the industry and then stepped away. But I met her at a conference. I saw her speak.
Okay.
So that's what happened.
Who is it? I might know him.
Ariani?
Oh, you talking about...
She ever revamped.
Yeah, I know she is.
Yeah. So I saw her speak.
We talked before.
Yeah, I saw her speak, and she looked at my resume like, this resume, it suck.
I be saying that a lot. Hey, people, y'all don't be understanding. Y'all resumes be trash.
Hey, I feel like if you're going to hire people to do that, you got to be willing to take what they say. And I'm like, and she told me, she like, this is why you ain't getting no bite back. She said, do not apply nowhere. You know, so like, she fixed my resume. She fixed my LinkedIn. And like, she was getting me some heavy hitters that was responding. But like, the industry.
Yeah. It's very much.
It's
like that. But I will say it's better for people with experience than people with no experience.
You think so?
My email stay jumping. I can show you right now something that I sent my clients yesterday about like why I'm always on them about, hey, this is why I'm big on having our LinkedIn look better than our resume. Not better, but
I know what you mean.
You should be being able to be sought after. Like, people should be able to reach out to you like they do on Tinder profiles.
Yeah. And it's crazy because like I don't want to say I never paid attention to my LinkedIn. I don't want to say that I didn't because I use LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. But it wasn't until like when she revamped it and she was like, why don't you post on here? Like, what is happening? Like, she like, you have a brand. What are you doing? Like, she was clocking me. She was clocking me. But I appreciate her because she's more than just like a career strategist. She's also a friend, and she helped me out during a very traumatic time. Like, going through this transition, that's why people don't understand. Like, when you get a doctorate, it's not...
Yeah,
it's because not all fun games.
This is kind of the thing that we talked about my last episode with Bees, how you have to be strategic too, because see, sometimes people go get a doctorate, but they apply for entry level. But like the entry level role probably not going to accept you because they're going to feel like you're overqualified. And if we do give you the job, the time a job you really won't come by, you're going to leave us. And so you have all those stigmas going on. So it's like sometimes you might have to leave that master's and doctorate off the resume just to get a shot. So they don't think you're overqualified. Down the back end, you just put it in through Workday and show all your degrees and stuff like that when you like try to go negotiate.
But that's what's crazy. See, I don't get it from that standpoint. It's just the way people treat you.
Oh, yeah.
Like the way, like, I don't know, nah. Mine's going on my resume. But I ain't, like you said, you have to be strategic about it.
Yeah, this is for the people that's like, they don't have a strategy, so they applying to all the wrong roles.
Yeah.
Like with a doctorate, you're going to be applying to, I don't know, the exact amount of experience it may count for. We're going to say, what, 3-4 years maybe?
What?
A doctorate.
Depending. Like, but for some people, it might be 5.
Yeah, so you're going to be pushing to that mid to senior level.
Type of tier. Or higher if you've been working in the industry longer. Because, like, I was in a program. I mean, some people are like, oh, I've been in the industry for 20 years or 15 years or stuff like that. Or, like, my classmate, she only been in the industry for, I think, maybe, like, 4 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But she young, and she's, like, she bridged. She did the master's to doctorate program. Smart. So she, you know, she was like, let me get out the way, which was smart. But I wanted to do my doctorate in 2020, but then I took a break. It was a lot going on. And then in 2023, I'm like, I want my doctorate. It's funny. We're talking about the sock team. I had a coworker. That's all she did. She was on the sock for 5 years. And she got her doctorate. I'm like, I went to her dissertation. It was perfect. Like, her topic, she was talking about how companies had to transition from in-person to remote for the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But then I can't think of everything, but the way that she laid it out and, like, how cybersecurity was kind of, like, I mean, people really didn't pay attention to it when they sent people home or, like, mm-hmm. you didn't look at the infrastructure. Yes. So, like, the way that she wrote it was perfect because nobody was talking about it yet. So, by the time she graduated in 2023, so people were still kind of figuring it out. And I'm like, dang, I was telling her, like, yeah, I was in school. Like, I had got accepted and I wanted to do my doctorate. She's like, why didn't you? She's like, what's stopping you? I mean, that's a good point. And that same favorite manager I was talking to, I told him, like, I think I want to go back and get my doctorate. But I've always said it. I just was like, oh, nah. But now that I got it, it's just, I'm a humble person. I don't like being treated like, I don't know, it's weird. You know what I mean? Like,
no, just, I get you.
It's weird. Like, people, it's a bright side and a dark side to having a doctorate.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that. However, I did want to briefly come back to DLP.
Yeah.
Because it's not a term a lot of people are familiar with. What solution were y'all using?
So, which solution? Okay. First, we was using Broadcom. Okay. I don't like Broadcom.
I've never used that.
I didn't like Broadcom because I felt like, to me, it was hard to use. It just didn't seem, they might have upgraded now, but when I first, and maybe because I was a new engineer, but we used Broadcom. We used Netscope. Okay. We got rid of those and moved to Digital Guardian. But I don't think they call it Digital Guardian. They call it Fortra.
Okay.
Fortra.
I think I've seen them.
DG. But they're now called Fortra. And then Palo Alto.
Okay. Which,
I love Palo.
What's Palo Alto's DLP solution called?
It's, honestly, I don't even know. They changed the name.
I probably can look it up. And I'm only doing this so somebody can look it up that's probably watching it. Let me see.
What was it called? Was it called, I want to say they was just calling, at first they was calling it Palo Alto Enterprise DLP, and they had CASB.
Yeah, it's just Enterprise.
Enterprise DLP, and they had CASB, but it was merged with DLP. I was actually like a, so like the team I was on, everybody had like a
specialty.
Like, yep. My specialty, I was over the web DLP. So Paolo had to be my best friend.
Yeah, we used to, well, technically they still use it, but Semantic.
Semantic is, that's Broadcom.
I know it's Semantic. I hate it.
Yeah, that's Broadcom.
Like, everybody hates it. I prefer Purview.
So that one is new for me. I've never seen it.
Yeah, so it's Microsoft's.
Is it better?
I've never used the Palo Alto joint, so I can't say if it's better, but it's definitely way better than Broadcom.
Broadcom.
Everything's better than that.
Okay.
Seriously. But it's cool, though. I mean, what's funny is I brought it up because DLP is not something people often think about. And we cover all these different breaches, and I always wonder, like, how are these things happening? Like, because you should be able to clock, okay, we got these rules set in place. You're not supposed to be forwarding anything out of here unless it's approved or send us up to approved domain.
I'm going to tell you why.
Or upload it. Like, because, you know, people get away with extracting data because they don't have proper, like you said, web DLP. Nobody's checking what code and all this other proprietary stuff you're uploading to these sites. Or you putting stuff on your own iCloud, Google Drive, OneDrive.
It's crazy. But it's because, like, and that's why I liked engineering and learning about DLP. Because when I first got into engineering, I had no idea. I'm like, DLP, what? That's it. Mm-hmm. I've heard of it, but I wasn't in it. Like, I was more so, I guess when I heard engineering, I thought I'm going to be doing something else. Because I came from the infrastructure side, so that's all I was used to. But DLP is funny because, I mean, DLP is in pretty much everything we do today. Like, data loss prevention. So, like, it's just about, like, you know, knowing the three states of data. Like, you got your data at rest, you got your data in motion, or maybe people call it data
in transit,
but data in motion, and then data in use.
Yeah.
Someone. Yeah.
But Yeah, and people don't realize, like, it's people that's got a whole career just literally doing DLP, getting paid good money.
Yeah.
You type in DLP right now in any job search engine, you can find stuff that's paying. You got stuff that start with the six figures that don't start with the one. I just put it like that.
For DLP?
Yeah.
Why?
Depending on where you go.
Oh, okay. Is it just because because I noticed that, like, sometimes DLP may be placed under a different domain depending on the company. But I wonder, is it because it's, like, under data security? Like,
probably so. I mean, like, I don't know what she's getting paid now, but I know 2-3 years ago, one mm-hmm. of my friends, she was on the show, the brief story. She told me what she was doing. She stayed in California. I was like, oh, no, they underpaying you, whatever. Woo-dee-woo.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up getting I want to say she worked for Edward Jones now. And so she's getting paid pretty good to do DLP there. And I don't think she's running the program. So I know if you run the program. Now, it may be also tied into doing DLP and then insider thread and risk. It may be
right,
merged.
Yeah.
But you get a lot of good bread that way. But a lot of people don't. You know what I'm saying? They don't know. I had a console last night with a guy. And he was like, yeah, man, I did this. I got this. I've been in tech support for 2 years, but I ain't getting no hits. Of course, the resume was garbage.
Did you tell him that?
Yeah, I said, it's trash. But as I started talking to him, I'm able to pull out, yeah, we use, I said, so you got CrowdStrike up here for a skill, but I don't see it on the resume. Oh, well, you know, at work we use CrowdStrike to go in and see, like, we have anything that's blocking some of our installs or all these other things going on network. I said, well, why it's not here?
Yeah.
he was like, yeah, then we use this for Pam. I said, well, why it's not here? I'm like, that's why
you're doing a lot of great things. Yeah. Like, call that out.
And so that's the biggest thing when I see people trying to go from help desk to this. So, like, one, they don't understand how what they're doing ties into the other domains of security and why, of course, it's also being, like, keeping it on the low. Because some people don't be wanting people to leave help desk. They want to keep on paying them low.
Yeah.
And two, they just don't know how to tell their story right when it comes to their resume. So that's why I was like, let me show you something. Because one of his bullet points said, led an IT asset management project. I said, bro, let me show you something. And so I showed him.
How you reworded it?
No, I didn't do that. I showed him something that a lot of people are not familiar with. So now LinkedIn also has a new way you can search for jobs for AI.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, hey, tell us what you want. So I said, I am interested in IT asset management jobs, and he stayed in Tampa, Florida. And literally we saw none but those type of roles based on some of the assets. So we talk about this project the right way, and you talk about it in depth in an interview.
Yeah.
You can get your job paying way more.
Yeah.
Because people focus on titles and not skill sets. That's really the main thing.
Yeah. I mean, but I also want to say that sometimes jobs just be real about what it is. Stop just putting any title out there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of that time that happened too.
Yeah. That's why I tell people to look up, like, for example, how we talk about DLP. The job might not even say data loss prevention. It may say something else. But if you put DLP into your quotes,
mm-hmm.
DLP, all the jobs for DLP might come up.
Data loss prevention, data security, insider threat, mm-hmm. data protection, like.
All that. But now, so I know you've been going through some, actually, before I want to do that, because I do not want to mess it up, but I was looking on your thing, because also, guys, I did tell you guys, she is the host of Control Alt Re, and I was listening to her latest episode. I want to say it's like last week. It was, like I told you, it was a really good listen, and honestly, if you want to, this is like free podcast game because you're probably busy and moving around, stuff like that. What you probably should do is just go pre-record your next couple of episodes.
So that's what I was doing. But then all this traveling came into place.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, because people like, what's going on? They like, where's episode 5? I said, y'all, it's like, I think in my head, I was like, oh, okay, I'm good. Like, I got, because I normally go and record like, I try to do at least 2 episodes, you know, every time I go to record. I thought in my head I recorded 5 and 6 because I, like, plan everything out. I looked like, wait, because I have my 2 people that I went to college with. They have an event studio.
Okay.
Back where I stay at.
Oh, and so that's where we're going to record at when we come to Detroit.
Yes.
Okay.
So they bought an event space, and then they have like a creator studio within their space so people can rent it out. And when I had told, because I, like I said, I went to college with both of them. And when I was telling Alizé, that's her name, and then her husband is Trent. When I was telling Alizé, like, because me and her go out for, like, we both moms, so we always try to go out for coffee. I don't drink coffee, but we go just for the vibes. I'm a refresher or tea type of person. I'm like, I want to like record my podcast. I want to do it at home. She was like, you can rent the studio. So like normally I go there and do it. But yeah, I need to pre-record.
Trust me. Most of the stuff I do week to week, but I got a workflow down to a science.
Like, yes.
I got to a point now too where it's like a lot of people like, and I'm not saying you, but I'm saying in general, mm-hmm. like you and other friends, they are professionals, but they also trying to figure out how to up their content game, strategies, and all this other stuff. Because, you know, I'm just an army of one. And so I've been toying with the fact of, like, mentoring, coaching some people in that aspect because it's not hard. But
with this.
Yeah, it's not hard, but you do have to be
consistent.
Consistent. But honestly, it got to be something you like to do. Because I'll tell somebody, like, if you're just trying to run a bag up, you're not really going to probably run a bag up. With podcasting, unless you're just gonna be pushing a lot of affiliate deals or boot camps,
right?
But other than that, you're not gonna run a bag. Seriously, you're not. Like, even when it comes to getting monetized on YouTube, like, you have to get a lot of views, and they gotta be quality views, not paying for them. Like,
yeah, you can do that. What?
Man, I'll show you right now. People paying for a lot of views, but the numbers don't make sense. As like Jay-Z said, we don't believe you. You need more people. Now. You got your Doctor of Science in Cybersecurity from Marymount University. And your dissertation was, and I want to make sure I'm reading this right, or your dissertation explored the intersection of cyber psychology, cybercrime, and user behavior on social media platforms. I wanted to talk about this dissertation.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah, I want to talk about, like, I know you were saying, like, you were trying to niche down because it was so broad. You said, oh, I got it. And then your mentor was like, nah, that's not
I
it.
I like that you listened to the episode.
I'm dead. Like, I don't know why you thought I was lying. Like,
Think you was lying, but, like, I like that you're able. So, for me, that gives me feedback that, like, how I'm breaking things down, people can remember it.
Yeah, I was fucked with the episode for real. Like, I was listening. I don't know where I was going. I can't remember what day I texted you, but I was doing something.
Uh-huh.
I was listening to it. I said the audio was good because I tell people this all the time. I say, y'all focusing on getting right the camera and all this stuff. I say, make sure it sound good. That's the biggest thing because with podcasts, whether you got it on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever.
It needs to sound
we're
right.
We're listening to it.
Right.
And you took us on the journey. So that's what I was listening to. I was like, no, I was listening
to everything. Yeah, so like I said, y'all need to go listen to episode 4 if y'all haven't. So originally, like I said in the episode, I wanted to do it on like why we don't have cybersecurity education for K-12. And you know, people probably going to be, they probably going to eat me up for this. But I'm just saying, like, schools focus on teaching us about drugs, alcohol, and sex early on. Which I'm not saying they should. Because I can still remember from, like, when I was, like, 7 or 8 and I was in DARE. Like, y'all know.
And I didn't graduate from DARE.
Really?
That was too bad.
Really? Oh, my.
It's me and a couple other kids.
That is terrible.
From DARE. Yeah. But the funny thing is, the kids that graduate from DARE, they the ones, that's the junkies.
Oh. Listen. But I still remember. It was impactful. And then, like, but what's interesting, like, the schools I went to, they didn't teach us sex ed. I didn't learn about it until I got to high school. Which is crazy. But I originally wanted to do my study on why don't we have it in like K-12. Mm-hmm. It's nothing wrong with hiring cybersecurity professionals to come in there to train your teachers, to train your administration. Because it's there. Just imagine how we used to be back in the day when they probably thought like, ain't no cell phones, so we got nothing to worry about. Now it's cell phones. Now it's iPads. Like, the pandemic really...
Snapchat, Instagram.
Yes, all social media.
Messages, all this type
of stuff. Yes, so it's like you need to be able to prepare kids. Even once they get into elementary, middle school, high school, you have to prepare them for what's to come. But then like I said in the episode, my classmates is like, what? Like, they was listening, but they like, girl, like, you passionate. My professor like, this is great, but no, you are way too biased. So that's the thing. When you get your doctorate... Yes.
But how is that? I want to ask you that, too, because when you said that, I was like, what does she mean, like, you're too biased?
So, like, when that's the thing. When you get in your doctorate and when you're doing your research, you're going to have a small bias, but sometimes that can stop you. Like, it was a lot of my classmates who was stuck in the program because they couldn't get over the bias. They wasn't willing to change the revisions. They like, no, I know what I'm talking about. So it's stuff like that. So it's like, but it's real though. But like, you will have researcher's bias. That I had it in my current dissertation, but there's like, You know, like how we at work and we say we got to put in compensating controls. You have to do the same thing with your research. So I had to do certain things. Like I got a classmate of mine to also code my stuff. So it was like, okay, I'm not biased. We're doing the same thing, and I had to compare it. So one day I was on social media. I always forget the story, but I was on social media, and like a lot of people don't talk about cyber psychology. And for me, I didn't even know what it was, but I went to, they probably gonna get on me too, because I never pronounce it right, Norfolk. I got a friend from Virginia, and she like, that's not how you say it. I'm like, look, I'm not from there, okay? Maybe blame it on the Michigan accent. We don't have an accent, but everybody say we do.
Y'all do a little bit, but you don't really have yours. You've been in corporate too long.
Right.
You and my boy, I don't know if you're familiar with Xavier, but.
Who's that?
Light-skinned hacker. He's in San Diego. He's from Detroit. I had the connection really? Too. Yeah.
Oh, like, wait, what's his name? Wait, you said light-skinned hacker.
Yeah. Yeah, Xavier. He been on the show like twice. My boy, he did the whole episode in Buffs.
Really?
Yeah, he did the whole episode in Buffs.
What a creative name.
No, that's not, I caught it. I think he said that before on Twitter before.
Oh, really? Let me see. Have I seen him before?
He in San Diego now.
Oh, okay.
I think he come to Detroit from time to time.
I don't think I ever seen his page, but yeah, you have to connect us.
Yeah, I'm just cool.
He did his whole interview in Buffs. I'm screaming. Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I wish. Hey, listen, I'm funny. If I would have the bread, I would came here with some Buffs too.
I'm glad people recognize like that's like a signature of Detroit. So I was on social media one day, but like, so, oh, I went to Norfolk in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I was going to get a master's in cyber psychology because it's so funny. Like, I was on, okay, y'all, I love Threads. I'm sorry, but I think that that's like, it's such, it kind of reminds me of what Twitter used to be.
I just can't pull away from X because I got a lot of followers there.
I know, but it reminds me of what Twitter used to be when it first came out. Like, people, you never going to get away from Twitter or X, sorry. You're never going to get away from that. But I like Threads because it's just so organic. It's natural. You can talk on there. Ain't nobody getting mad at you. Like, you have a really good dialogue on there. So I literally saw somebody say, somebody needs to study, like, black women feeling like they need to go and get advanced degrees. It's crazy. Somebody really do need to study. I might.
No, you know what's funny?
I might study that.
You know, that person, when they put that on Threads, I can't say they necessarily stole it from him.
Mm-hmm.
But RIP to the Godfather. That's something he would say, like, when women don't have nothing else to do, they're going to go back to school. They be like, I ain't got nothing. You know, I'm going to go get a doctorate and all this other stuff.
It's crazy because, like, I feel like, I don't know, I wasn't like that. I actually wanted to, like.
Well, you got something that's useful. Some of them go back and get some that ain't useful. They just career learners.
True. Some people are just continuous learners, and they might just, like, school may be their safe space, and they might feel like that's where they thrive at and it can help them. But when I first heard cyber psychology, I'm like, oh, is it like a discipline of cyber? Because that's just what I thought. Mm-hmm. I had no idea it was a discipline of psychology. I went in like, what? I wasn't the only one that thought that, though, so I was glad to know that I wasn't the only one that thought that. So it's really just a study of the, you know, of the human brain in the digital world. That's all it is.
But the funny thing about when we start thinking about the psychology, that's the whole reason why social engineering works.
Yes.
That's literally the whole basis of social engineering. You have, Tanika was on X the other day saying how all these people are being imposters of fake recruiters on people's Gmails and making it look like they're legitimate. But you always can go through and really see
it. You can
always
tell.
And I was like, because I got a message on the way here on my Gmail that I do not have anywhere on, like, anything. I'm like, first of all, fam, how you a recruiter and your domain is at gmail.com? Let's keep it real.
Clock it.
So it's all of that. It's all of the same things that we see on shows that they play to when people get real, very sophisticated where spear phishing.
Yep.
And so they say, okay, I know Ree got a son, this and that. I'm a start just paying now and see what her moves is and how she done. I'm going to try to craft something for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh, I'm stupid because I thought about like somebody tricking somebody. Like, because technically this was social engineering as well, but people don't think about it. I got a message for Mr. Willie Johnson. Craig's in trouble. Come quick.
Literally. That's now, literally.
And he could have just called Elroy and said, hey, everything all right with Craig?
Literally.
That's literally what it is.
Social engineering. Cyber is in pretty much everything we do. We've seen it. Like,
yeah, but that's the thing, though, because the interview I was doing the other day, they say it's like a company and they have, like, consultants or whatever, but they always do, like, the first intro call and stuff with the people because they want to see, like, could this person be a consultant for us or do they have a problem talking? Are they able to explain these cyber concepts to people that's not technical?
Yeah.
And so I always try to display that because I was like, man, ain't nobody trying to hear you get on there and talk about the OSI model. They want to know about ones and zeros. How can I understand this is a big issue? Hey, this would happen. Y'all just lost $30,000.
That's all. Look, that's all they want to understand. Like, I always talked about that at work. Like, y'all, leaders don't want to hear about all this. They don't want to hear that.
That's what y'all care about.
They want to know how much, why, what's going to happen if we don't. Mm-hmm. Literally, that's it.
Our business process is impacted.
Yes. How does it impact the business? That's literally how people want to know it. So with cyber psychology, I just thought about like all this stuff that's going on social media, like the way that, you know, people don't really pay attention to cyber just as simple as having a public profile. Mm-hmm. We pretty much opening up, and I have a public profile, but we pretty much opening up ourselves to whatever. Versus people who have private profiles, but even people who have public profiles. That don't mean that you got to post everything. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and then just how much social media has changed. Like, I remember Instagram never had DMs? Mm-hmm. Like, just stuff like that, or like just how things have changed. Because at first I was going to do it with AI. And like my external reader, he like, do something else. Everybody talking about AI. Like, take that out the equation. So he got his doctorate. One of his doctorates, because he got four. It's really something about the people who are in the military that's grabbing up everything. But
dude, it's free for them.
True. It is. It's crazy because, like I always say, like I don't get along with people who've been in the military. But my external reader was in the military, and my mentor, she's from the military. So, but I need that type of strategy.
No nonsense
with this type of, with everything, with as in regards to like my career and as well as school. Like my external reader, he helped me with school, and then my mentor, she helps me professionally and personally. So I kind of wanted to shake it up and see, like, I'm gonna do my study on this. And I wanted to know, like, okay, how does cyber psychology and cybersecurity impact how we behave on social media? And I did this on purpose. I chose Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram on purpose. Everybody was like, why you didn't do TikTok? Because it would have been too easy. I wanted something hard. And if you look up with data, guess, like, I want to see if you know, what would you say is the number one social media platform?
Facebook.
Nope. YouTube.
Yeah, well, to be fair, though, I was only counting out the ones you said you did them on.
YouTube is number one. And then it's crazy, Facebook come after, then X, then Instagram, then TikTok.
I know YouTube, YouTube kind of hybrid because it is a social media platform where people mostly post videos. Life stuff there.
I couldn't believe it when I looked up that data.
Yeah, it's on par with, like, when you think about streams and how many people use it every day, it's on par with Netflix.
Really? Well, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, because everybody.
Because YouTube TV.
Not only that, but think about many people. And I ain't got nothing to say. I watch YouTube. People watch all that stuff. You got to think about people getting millions of views on videos.
You're right, yeah. So when I was looking at the data, I just wanted to see. And I knew it would be something that people want to participate in. But you know the most challenging thing that I saw? I couldn't get any younger individuals. So like Gen Z. It was very hard to get them. Really? Because they felt like, one, they don't use Instagram. They use TikTok. And then I had one that was like, I don't really be on social media. He like, I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I felt like they were more, like a lot of them were more so prioritizing TikTok and LinkedIn. They wasn't really doing it. So it was really hard to get Gen Z.
You're going to definitely find more millennials and everybody.
That was my biggest population. My biggest population was millennials. And it was hard to get like boomers and Gen X.
Yeah, because they don't really use.
Yeah, boomers, like it was hard. But I had it though. So the reason why I wanted to do it, like I just discovered that everything that I see on social media, my dissertation proved it. It proved it. Because the way that someone acts or behaves in a digital world, it's more likely they act different in the real world. That's just what it is. But that's cyber psychology. And it's like some people, the way they act on social media, it's how they are in real life. But just think about like content creators and influencers. Like if they, I actually broke it up into categories. I did cybersecurity professionals, I did social media influencers, and then I did general social media users. And what I discovered is that social media influencers are more emotion-driven when it comes to protecting their cybersecurity. Cybersecurity professionals are more logic-based because they have the training. General social media users, they also have an emotion as well because they're afraid, but they still post. Or, like, people don't even realize that, like, I did a whole post on it about the whole thing with Love Island. Like, all the stuff that was happening with Love Island, everything that was going on social media, cyber psychology, it was just impacting everybody, like, the way that people were doing things. And then even, like, how, I don't know if you heard this, but a lot of people say they don't like posting on Instagram because they feel like it's, you have to be polished to post on Instagram versus TikTok. You can be raw.
I heard that with, real. Like, all platforms. And funny enough, it was, I forgot who Kev on stage was talking to. He was talking to somebody, and he was telling people, hey, why are you worried about your content being so polished when it's people sitting on the toilet watching your TikToks? And so when you think about it, and that goes back to earlier when I was talking about, like, you worried about how everything looked.
Look, and you need to think about how it sounds.
I started this on the front-facing camera 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get the information out there.
Exactly.
Nobody expecting you to look like you are shooting something on Fox Network.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Yeah. Gosh, I feel this exact way. And I hate that, but that's what I discovered throughout my study, that people really be like, for example, even with like Rita Cyberboss, I don't have a lot of followers on there. Like, okay, given that I've deleted my page a few times because I've went up and down with Rita Cyberboss. It's always been there, but I probably could have, if I would have kept my original one, I probably would be up to about 10K. About. I'm not, though. I'm at, like, almost 1,200, but that's okay. My career strategist said this on her panel, like, she don't want to be an influencer. She want to make an impact. She don't want to influence. Because influence come and go.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. So, like, if I post something and it only get 50 likes, okay. But think about it in the real world. If 50 people like something, oh, that's lit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, people don't think about that.
I know, like, we always talk about the same thing when it comes to YouTube. People always worry about the views. Hey, most videos on YouTube don't get over 1,000 views. So just think about, you got a venue where 1,000 people showed up.
Exactly. That's the thing. So, like, I wanted to call that out because I really wanted to call out cybersecurity professionals. Like, you really need to get with cyber psychologists to help you figure out how social media is going to be. People, like, and listen, Facebook, Meta, whatever the appropriate name is now, y'all got all these different privacy settings set up, but y'all let everything happen and then make it really hard for a person to get their page back. Mm-hmm. But, like, that can mess with a person. I'm just saying, because it can mess with a person because now somebody is out there acting like me and that's their online identity. So I think that cybersecurity can benefit from cyber psychologists, helping them develop cybersecurity training, how the tools are set up, prepare your users for what's going to happen. You got to treat your end users like...
I think they don't care because, you know, they're selling the data.
I know that.
So, I mean, Facebook, I think, is just the easiest place because people post so much. I heard you was looking for a job. Fill this out and...
Yeah.
You know, do the Cash App and all this, like, stupid stuff. You see people, I made $5,000 a day. Yeah. Put the Cash App in, and I'm going to help you return, flip your money. Like,
Yeah.
All that type of stuff. Yes. And I'm with you on the impact thing too, because I don't really focus on vanity metrics.
Right.
Because for me, if the info was good, it's reaching who it needs to reach.
If I can reach one person that day, I'm straight. That's just my thing. And like, so with my research, I wanted to prove to people like, yo, cybersecurity is in everything that we do. Cause my friends always talk about me, like everybody be like, I just really don't even understand what you do. They like, I just say she in cyber.
What did you used to tell them you do? Like when people ask you, like a normal person, cause I'll tell you what I tell regular people when they ask what I do when it comes to cybersecurity.
It actually changed. So I think like when I first got in cyber, I used to say, I'm in cybersecurity. And they're like, oh, okay, so you protect data. Let's go with that. And then some people was like, so you hack? No, I don't. Shout out to all the hackers. Shout out to y'all. That's too much work. Okay, being in cyber is a lot of work. But learning how to hack, ethically hack, y'all, it's a lot. It's a lot. I commend ethical hackers, software engineers, all that develop. Yeah. It's a lot. So I used to just explain to people depending on what I did. So like when I was a business law risk manager, or actually my very first job, I'm like, oh, I was an intern and I was helping build out their cybersecurity program. That was the best way to say it because they didn't have one at the time. It was my manager and then it was me. So if they wanted to get more into it, I just said, I'm just helping build out a program so I can help protect the customers. When I became, like, as I further went in, I still would explain it to my friends because I want them to know. Like, I want them to feel empowered. But that's why with Rita Cyberboss, it's like I want people to feel, I don't want people to feel like less than when they're listening about cybersecurity or when they learn about it. I want them to feel like, ooh, I get it. Like how you just said the example from Friday. That's social engineering. That's a form of cybersecurity. So, like, I always try to explain it in a way that they get it. But, yeah, like, even now, people are like, well, what do you do now? Like, I'm product manager. I'm a cybersecurity product manager. I help manage a product from a cybersecurity standpoint.
Yeah, no, for real. I mean, like, for me, when they want to know about incident response or whatever, I say, you can think of it this way. I'm a digital policeman, fireman, detective, that is the first responder to a company's cybersecurity events.
Yeah, that's a great way.
Because it's the easiest
way. I'm going to have to steal that. Sense.
Yeah, it was funny.
Not that exactly, but I'm going to have to steal that.
I think most people that's an IR think of it that way because I heard it, someone else say it on a different podcast. And then when I was on Hacker Valley, I think I said the same thing. Because it's just the most thing that makes the most sense. Like normally when there's a fire, you call 911, somebody breaking into your cars, 911, hey, they reach out to us, hey, my laptop was stolen. Okay, reach out to the IR team so we can go contain it and do all this other stuff. Or if we got to get a detective involved, we're going to bring forensics or somebody.
Right.
Or that's when you start bringing in, if it's something going on at the police department, you bring in internal affairs. It's the same thing. So, but not to get off on a whole bunch of other side quests that we could talk about. I know you said it's been feeling different since you got your doctorate. Do you feel like people... Because I know I try to respect, like, people's doctors. I was doing an intro to two people so I can help a friend out the other day. And I was mindful of making sure I said, hey, this is Dr. So-and-so. Because I know, hey, you put a lot of work in and you want to be referred to as a doctor. Now, some people, they want to be referred to it, but they also don't want people to feel like they changed because they're a doctor. So I'm still saying person, but, like, for formal introductions or something like that, kind of just... address it. Just like if you got a family member that became a pastor, you want to call them pastor instead of cousin or uncle, brother, something like that.
I think for me, if I'm in a professional setting, I want to be addressed as Dr. Ree. Because at the end of the day, I am building my brand, my cybersecurity brand. Ree the Cyberboss, Dr. Ree. That's why I changed everything. And then I always said that once I turned 30, which was last year, I was going to change my Instagram name. Because for the longest, all my social media handles have always been Puss Spice on it. Ever since the beginning. And then, like, it's funny when you change your username because people don't know. They're like, wait, what? Like, so I changed it the other day to Dr. Jeree. And, again, I worked my ass off for that doctorate. So I don't expect my friends to call me doctor because we're friends. I don't expect my boyfriend to call me doctor. Now, did I make a post like, oh, my boyfriend's so lucky he dating a doctor. Then when he put that ring on my finger, he's marrying a doctor. That's just like I'm joking. But it's true. Some people don't want you to feel like I'm better than you because I have a doctorate. I'm not better than you. I just went and got an advanced degree for what I'm passionate about. And it's interesting because what I'm learning now is that I have friends that are in the medical field. So I'm also learning about, do you know how many doctorates it is? Like, it's so many, people think it's just PhD. It's not. It's so many different things that we do. And I'm learning that sometimes maybe people who are medical doctors may feel away because those who are getting, you know, degrees, what do they call it? Advanced degrees in academia or in different industries. I'm learning that medical doctors sometimes feel away as well I feel like it's different because I don't think they should feel away because they went through very extensive training and they're saving lives. And how I've been saying is like, well, at least for those who have doctors in cybersecurity, we're saving data. We're protecting data. So it's not to compare, but I like to respect people's titles too. I started asking people like, you know, what do you like to be like? Do you prefer doctor? Some people be like, yeah, or no. Like if I know them, they like, I don't, you know, but like if I'm commenting on somebody's stuff on social media and I know they're a doctor, I'm saying doctor so-and-so. For me, like my external reader, I asked him that. He was like, I don't care to be called doctor. Like I'm me. But for me, I worked very hard for it and it was a long journey. So yes, in a professional setting, I want to be called Dr. E. Now, if we out and about, because when I went to a conference, I just went to BaddieCon last weekend, and, like, I get so embarrassed with somebody, like, you're a doctor, and I'm like, y'all, stop. Like, I like it, but it is a dark side to it. I really feel like it's a dark side. Back to the earlier point, like, some people may think you're overqualified. But I've been seeing stuff where people actually do want you to have a doctorate because, like, mm-hmm. research scientists or even, like, with AI and machine learning, like, because we have the research background, they're like, ooh, you can do this, you know what I'm saying? So, like, or just other, like, I think it depends on the company. Some companies will recognize it.
Yeah.
But I think people don't know how to handle it. And then that's another thing. So people, and I don't be rude about it, but I don't have a PhD in cybersecurity. That is something different. I have a DSC. And the reason why I think that is, going back to the earlier point, now that I've went through all of this research, I'm researching everything. Anything I come up with, I want to go see the data. PhD, doctorate of philosophy. You can get that in a lot of industries, right? Like across everything. It's so many other doctorates, you know, people have EDs or all that. Doctorate of science is more prominent in the UK, is what I'm learning. I think people from the UK brought it over here because they come over here, they become professors or deans. And they brought it over here. All doctorates have the same level of work. Everybody goes through dissertations. Everybody goes through research. Everybody is in school for like 3 to 7 years, depending on what kind of doctorate you're getting. But the reason why I like to say, okay, I have a doctorate of science because if I was getting a doctorate of philosophy, based on the different programs that I was applying to, you can just hop right into your research. You can hop right in. And that's what you do. You doing articles, you build into your dissertation. But my program for Doctorate of Science, we had to take advanced courses in cybersecurity. Then we had to hop into research. And it's also a matter of people lie about their credentials. My external reader was just saying that. Like, he said that he turned somebody away because she said she had a PhD. He's like, you don't have a PhD. You have a DSC. Own it. So sometimes when people like somebody at work was like, oh, I just found out you got your PhD. I said, nope, I got an advanced degree, so DSC. And it's not being rude. I want to be respectful to people who have PhDs, and then I want to be respectful to people who are now getting DSCs. But people just don't know how to handle it. So that's the struggle. Like my previous company I left, I felt like because it was so new, I don't know if they really knew how to handle what that meant. And I feel like I feel like I'm always going to be that girl that came in, that 22-year-old girl that came in with getting my master's in cyber, thinking I'm just trying to learn. So they're never going to look at me as Dr. Jeree Spicer. They're going to just say, Jeree. But we in a professional setting, so you absolutely should be calling me doctor because I'm in cyber and it's, you know, I'm in that role. So it is different. I don't get offended, like, if you don't know me. But, like, if people connect with me on LinkedIn, like, I've been getting so many messages like, Dr. Spicer. And I'm like, I get so, like.
Go ahead and start your class up.
What kind of class?
I don't know. Maybe you can teach cyber psychology at a college.
I want to. You know what's crazy? I actually have an opportunity where I did apply for one. I can't do nothing yet because this school got to, like, you know, confer our degrees, release our official transcripts. Because, again, people lie. I actually, the school I went to, Norfolk, they're doing, like, a new role where you can be, like, a program advisor to help those who are in cyber psychology do their, like, capstone projects. But you need to have a doctorate.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm saying?
Because I vowed I would not go back to school tomorrow. I got a master's of science in technology management. I don't really, unless I just don't have anything to do and I just get the itch, like, oh, okay.
So the reason why I went and got a doctorate, because I knew eventually I'm going to want to teach. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be, but you can teach with a master's. But I knew I wanted to teach. I want to teach at the collegiate level.
Yeah.
I want the power that come with it. Like, I'm not afraid to say that because, like,
I said that in the episode.
Yeah. Like, when they interviewed me, like, why do you want your doctorate? And I'm like, I want the power that come with it. And it's not to be, like, I'm mighty or anything of that. Like, I mean, I feel like God put us on this earth for a purpose, and I feel like this aligns with my purpose. I'm very passionate about cybersecurity, and I'm already a black woman in a field that's not a lot of us are here. Black women, we already have it tough enough. You know what I'm saying? So, like, whenever we, and it's unfortunate, whenever we do something, we do have to have a little bit more credentials to be taken serious. And I want to do speaking engagements. And I feel like when I have the doctor in front of my name and the credentials behind it, it's like, okay, yeah, she knows what she's talking about. But I've always loved school. That's been my thing since I was a little kid. And my dad always...
I can tell you love school.
You know what's crazy? I complained. I got two classmates. I call them my doctoral besties. I complain to them every single day of this program. I said, y'all, this is crazy. We should just drop out. Like, we should just drop out. Because it's crazy. You are challenged so... You challenged to a point, and it's like you're an adult now. You know, when you're in college, you can kind of goof around, but nah. It's another adult telling you, hey, I know you just did the research and you just wrote 100 pages. Suck. Revise it. It don't make sense. Like, my external reader, oh, we was bumping heads. I said, oh, you know what? I'm done. He was like, I don't care. I got four. Like, he was like, don't nobody.
So he was the example of, I got mine. It's time for you to get yours.
He was like, don't nobody. He said, no one told you to go and get a doctorate. You chose to go get one. So don't have people feel sorry for you. And he made a good point. He told me that sometimes he didn't tell people when he went and got his doctorate. He said, because people really prey on your downfall. Companies too. And he said, the reason why your career probably wasn't going where it was going, because they like, she got time to go get a doctorate. Why she don't got time to do more work? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, I've always liked school. But my dad has always said, school is only as hard as you make it. He's told me that since day one. So I always wanted my doctorate. And then, you know, I don't have a platform that, I don't want to say I don't help people, but I don't sell anything.
I think you do help people.
I help people. I educate.
You lead by example.
Yeah, I empower, I educate. But, like, I don't have a platform where I'm, you know, I'm a career coach or a career strategist or I'm selling classes or boot camps or certs. I don't do that. I'm empowering and educating because I want people to feel confident when they talk about cybersecurity, and I want to help people protect themselves. And then I'm writing books. So I want people to be like, okay, a doctor wrote this. Mm-hmm. It's just showing that, hey, I'm an SME.
We need to read the Cyberboss LLC that's going to be consulting these companies for their cybersecurity risk management programs and stuff.
Think so?
Might as well. I think that's the way it's going. I tweeted that, but I think that's the way it's going. A lot of people that's been in for a while now, they're starting their own LLCs. They're figuring out how to do corp to corp and do their own mm-hmm. thing because you just can't count on the company anymore.
You can't count on the company, but that's why I'm coming out with my books so I can rely on my research, my publication, and things like that.
Yeah, and while you were talking, that's something like we talked about a lot with security awareness for parents, kids, and how do we get that?
You just saw my post? Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is something that Destiny and I talk about a lot because we talk about all these different breaches, and we talk about kids. Like we just did one 2 weeks ago. We were talking about like how to bring awareness to parents, especially like Skechers had a shoe they made developed to hide air tags in it so you can keep track of your kids.
Okay.
And so we're just talking about all the different things, how like these kids got too much access to the internet.
Okay, first of all, Skechers came out with that. I did not see that, and I did not know
it wasn't widely publicized.
What's up with that?
Man, you just don't know. You have to go look for it. Like, okay. You really do have to go look for it.
I mean, but that's nice to know. At least they, you know, people could talk about them all day, but at least they taking the initiative because it's serious. Like, yeah. It's too much going on today, and we're parents, so it's too much going on. It's not like how when we was kids, you can just go outside, you can walk to school, you know what I'm saying? Like, come back. It's different now. You know what I'm saying?
People are weirdos.
Yes.
And not only that, so yesterday I sent her, it was crazy because I was on my personal IG, mm-hmm. and I'm not on that much, and Shade Room shared a post, I don't know from what news outlet,
mm-hmm.
but a young man self-deleted himself because of AI.
Yes.
And he was
because of ChatGPT.
Yeah, he was talking to
his parents are suing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was telling him, "Hey, well, no, don't bother your parents with stuff like that."
Yes.
And the stuff, but that's twofold.
Yes.
My kids are not gonna have just unfiltered access to that. I'm gonna be looking at the logs through the thing and be like, "All right, what you been looking at?"
Exactly.
Because like, I ain't your friend. I'm trying to make sure you all right.
Listen, I feel like people who are cybersecurity professionals, our kids probably gonna hate us. Because I'm going to be all up and through there, and I'm going to go through the back end and see what's going on.
Yep, putting all them little apps on your iPad and stuff. Because it's just so much stuff that marketing to kids, but it's something else.
Yeah, so what's crazy, so the reason why I asked, did you see my post? I just made a post today about 5 ways. Let me read it for everybody. I just did it. Let me see. Let's see. I wanted to see if people was being mean to me on here. So I said 5 ways how oversharing puts our kids' data at risk. So the first thing I talked about was birth announcements. It's great to announce your kids. You know, I'm a parent, especially like people who got, you know, their first kid or even if you have multiple kids. It's beautiful, but showing your kids birthday, the time they was born, the hospital, those are security questions.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, first day of school photos. My child's teacher's name is this. They're going to this school. My favorite thing is this. Those are security questions. My favorite is board. So I don't know if people been seeing that, but they make those in school. And what they say like, oh, my favorite color is this. My mommy's name is this. I have a dog named this. Red flag. Party invites. Think about when people print out these party invites and leave them at school, or they might post it online. You're just, again, we don't think about things like this, but that's one way. And then schedules and routines. So, okay, listen, I love all my content creators and influencers, but all those routines that your kids are doing, like if my son is in activities and got a bedtime routine and all of that, that's great. But when you start doing that, cyber criminals like, oh, I'm a clock that. Because now, oh, y'all out of town, so then now I can, you know what I'm saying? Like, just they can mirror your page. They can do anything. So we don't talk about that a lot. And I'm a parent, so I get it 100%. I date someone who is very private. He like, I don't want to post him ever. I don't want to post him until you get here. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I'm very strategic about what I'm posting. So when I post, like, you know, cute stuff. I'm being very mindful of what I post. Like, you know, people talk about people who hide their kids' faces and they might post them, but that's their way of protecting their kids.
I only post most like my story, close friends type stuff.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. So it's important for parents to, so that's what my children's book, the first book, is about just educating kids on cybersecurity. So the idea is that, well, it's based on my son. So the idea is that every adventure through cybersecurity will be something to teach them. So the first book is about cyberspace. Mm-hmm. And it's literally, When I say my illustrator, she the coldest.
Yeah, she the coldest. It's funny though. That's crazy because that's stuff that Destiny and I have been talking about, but not maybe not from a book standpoint, but mm-hmm. more so. I mean, it's room for everybody to make whatever content they want, mm-hmm. like coloring books or something, mm-hmm. so they understand in a way that they can understand.
Yeah.
Hey, don't give your password to somebody. And with the rise of this is a take. I probably, you know what, if I was to get a doctorate, maybe I would probably do my stuff on neurodivergent people and how they operate on the internet. Something like that.
Right? Why you read my mind?
My oldest daughter is on the spectrum.
Why you reading my mind? So listen, now I got to tell everybody what I got planned. I'm doing a article on how cyber psychology helps gifted kids.
Nice. And I thought about that because once you TikTok, you start looking at certain stuff, it starts showing you this thing. So there's this young man who mom that I follow to where I forgot. I think he may be an adult now, mm-hmm. but he's on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And he has his first job. He got in trouble at work because, you know, some people, based on where they fall on the spectrum, but they're very literal. Mm-hmm. A guy at work was explaining to him how he needed his help because if he lose the job, his family, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, he had the young man, the autistic man, doing time card fraud for him. The guy on the spectrum didn't think anything was wrong with it because he was helping him out. But then he found out, hey, I'm not supposed to do that. So you take that into account of now you give your kids on the spectrum these different access to these phones and everything else. And they, hey, I'm not going to be your friend unless you do X, Y, Z, whatever it may be to a child. And them not wanting to lose a friend don't realize this person is manipulating you.
Yes.
And all this stuff. And so these are things that kids are not told about. And that is where we got to get to now to reach them earlier, because we see it happen all the time now with adults.
That's where it comes. That's where my people forget, because I'm the cyber boss now. So people forget that's what my bachelor's degree is in. It's in child development and criminal justice. Birth to 4, which really birth to 5, those are the most critical years, which is why we should prepare our children at an early age. Like my, you know, our son got a speech delay. And that's the thing though.
I guess what type of speech delay? Like was it caused by something like, for example, my baby girl, it's not necessarily a speech delay, but she had a tongue tie for 3 years.
Nope. It was just he had a hard time transitioning to solids. So it was like an oral aversion. So oral aversion is like when a baby experiences something when they're drinking a mm-hmm. bottle or breastfeeding, and they might get acid reflux or like, and it's like a traumatic experience for them. Yeah. So they're resistant to want to eat solid food.
That's my younger cousin, his son was. Yeah. Her son is.
Yeah. So we went through that, and I put him through, you know, we put him through private speech and private OT to help him through that. But the speech is just really based on like, I think any kids that were born after the pandemic, because parents were scared to get them out and like just the social emotional part, I think that's where that comes from. But he's just more so like a speech delay, more so like he's just not as far as his peers and speech is helping.
Yeah, yeah.
But to your point,
we got both of mine. We got the one on the spectrum mm-hmm. and speech, and then my baby girl goes like 2 or 3 times a week because mm-hmm. you've been talking so much one way with your tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You got to retrain
all that and how to say stuff.
So I like that you brought that up because I actually got the idea from my son because he, his speech therapist. I'm all for people in these different professions using technology to help kids. Speech therapists, you know, they have I'm probably going to get it wrong. It's like augmented communication or something like that. But it's basically a word, all the different words, almost like a puzzle. And you're basically mimicking what the kids should do. And some kids thrive off of that. But that I'm doing an article on that, how cyber psychology helps gifted kids. So you should, like. Yeah, I got to do some research. I'm gonna have to do a podcast episode on that.
No, for real. I mean,
that's serious. That's very true.
that's why I think about all these things now. When like you know, stuff you think about as you're going through your kid, but then now you start having your own, then you start figuring out.
Yep.
Okay, how do I think that's what separates us from like the boomers and like Gen X? But yeah, no, all those conversations really could be, they can go on and on.
They know, really could.
You know, and maybe that might even be a separate IP, just parenting and security and
yes. how to
keep your kids safe for the different things I think of. Like, for example, I grew up, one of my favorite movies growing up was First Kid. Mm-hmm. So how Sinbad had the little necklace on him.
Yeah.
That traced him. That was the only way he was able to find him from that necklace. If it wasn't for that necklace, they wouldn't have found Luke in the mall.
Right.
So all different things you can just do to keep your kids safe. Because it's a lot of just weird stuff, weirdos, mm-hmm. a lot of weird people with not enough presence at the schools, keeping the kids safe. It's just a lot. You have young kids now, and I just think it's different now for the COVID babies. Like you said, a lot of that development they lost, a lot of them aren't talking on a level that they could have, or you know.
But they're smart, which is crazy.
Yeah, like they can figure anything out.
People are so shocked by our son because, like, he know all his ABCs, he know all his numbers. Mm-hmm. But I have a background in childcare. So as soon as he came out the womb, all you ABCs and 1, 2, 3s is just running because that's just spending time,
that's
parenting
how it
time.
Is for us. It's like both of the grandparents. So one grandparent is a special
education teacher
for young kids, like 4 and probably.
Shout out to them. They have they have big hearts. They need to be paid more.
And then my mom has been in childcare for like the last, what?
Bless her 10, heart.
20 years. And like,
bless her heart.
It's like with the 4-year-olds now.
Bless her heart.
But she's always sending stuff or, hey, they should work on this. Or, mm-hmm. hey, teach them the alphabet out of order so they kind of mm-hmm. recognize it better versus the song play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that stuff helps too. And then mom doesn't work. So she's been at the home with them all the time. So I was like, now we're getting a little breather with one being in kindergarten. And
exactly.
The other two.
Yeah.
And once it's, you know, once Zelly's gone, it's going to be her and Josh looking at out of the house. So I'm like, it's going to be super easy and quiet then.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be like, nah. I'm done. For whatever reason, when I'm there, they think it's party time. Even when I got my...
Not party time.
When I got my office, like, closed in and everything, they are just going ballistic. They ain't listening to nothing she's telling her. So that's why I just go to my office and work because it's just simpler on her.
Yeah,
they not
yeah.
trying to do stuff to where they know... If I hear a yell a certain way, they do something, I'm coming out the room trying to see what's going on.
Right, right.
And they do that. They try to play us against mm-hmm. each other. The kids very smart and manipulative. I'm like, oh, no. Or they try to do something like, that's all you got to do. Fellas, women, if you're watching this, you got kids at the house, and they come ask you for something, you got them with, oh, what your mama say?
Literally.
Because mama probably already told them no, and so they come to you. So now they can say, well, daddy said yes. That's what kids do. I just do it to my parents.
Yeah, it's an important topic, but because my son got a speech delay, and most people don't, that's where I get ideas from when it comes to, like, when I'm trying to make content and different things like that. That's why I'm looking at cyber psychology, because I'm thinking about him because of just that, the technology standpoint.
Yeah.
And then, like, when I say it, people don't realize that speech delay, that's a thing. It's just a early childhood developmental disorder.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
all it is. People,
yeah. It's so much. It's a lot that when it comes to that. Not only that, then you think about how, I think my biggest gripe is the people. I don't think kids who need help parents should feel not punished, but like, for example, we not on Medicaid or nothing because I got insurance. However, stuff I have to do, sometimes my kids can't qualify for certain stuff because I make too much money or whatever. So sometimes they can't even get into certain programs. Whereas now I got to spend money that I shouldn't have to spend just because of funding or whatever the state don't want to do because they feel like stuff not necessary when I think pre-K is very necessary for kids that will be going to kindergarten. It's so hard taking kids that ain't had no type of structure straight into kindergarten and they still getting in trouble.
That's why I am not looking forward to when Big Gretch, which is our governor, when she get out of office, which I feel like her successor is going to try to do the same things, but she's big on that. She's big on the whole GSRP, mm-hmm. pre-K, free for everybody. Yeah. She wants it in every single school
so
that people can be prepared. It's either, and then I think they also have like some people have Young Fives. Have you heard of that? Young Fives. It's like for kids who their birthday might be late.
That's my daughter. That's why she's not pre-K right now. Because her birthday is the next month.
So some of the schools have Young Fives where it's only because they need, they couldn't get into pre-K because of the age. So you can go here, go through everything. Like, it's regular school. It's just a different type of classroom. It's Young Fives. Literally for kids who miss the age marker. And then it's the class you go to before kindergarten.
Yeah. No, that's
so, yeah. I mean, all of this stuff is needed. But I feel you on, like, everything we do is private. Private speech. Private
we
OT.
Well, we reinforce it because she has her IEP, so she does speech at school. Mm-hmm. And we get also her own speech. So it's like just reinforcing stuff.
Yeah.
It makes it like the most out of her time. Yeah. Throughout the week and stuff. So.
And my son Young, I caught it.
Yeah.
He ain't even in school yet.
No, I mean, seriously. Like, I mean, even for us, like, so the baby boy that's one, mm-hmm. I mean, the difference was he was the only one born in Texas. The other two were born back home in Louisiana.
Okay.
Immediately, like, at the day one or day two, when we were feeding him, one of the nurses was like, he got a tongue tie.
Mm. Yep.
So we went to a specialist, and he snipped it. That was that. And then he looked at my daughter. She was like, yeah, this should have been cut.
Right, right.
Snipped that too.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep.
But that's what it is. That's why I know I give parents grace because I understand if it's only one parent and then you don't have a high income skill, it's so much stuff you can't pay attention to because you're busy working. And then somebody who may be watching your kid don't really know what to look out for. And it's tough. So that's how a lot of these kids just keep on going through the system and the cracks because it's just.
And then that's how they get to the technology because they're watching TV, they're on their phones and because of things. But then I always have like, people probably ain't gonna like me, but I hate when people talk about, people don't understand what the parenting structure may look like. Not everybody got a two-parent household. Not everybody might be co-parenting right. Or somebody might, or what if somebody lost somebody? Like, what if somebody lost a parent and now they got to, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you never, and then what about people who got to work from home? Mm-hmm. I know for me, like as a woman, it was very tough trying to, because my boyfriend was on the road. Like, he, CDL driver, he was on the road at the time. I can't do nothing. I'm not going to, like, stop working. Like, you got to work. You know what I'm saying? So.
And then with Ms. Rachel.
First of all, I love Miss Rachel, but I think sometimes people, which I get it, because like to your point, moderating, making sure that they not, you know, looking at certain things, like I do that too, but I think I never judge somebody else what their parenting structure is, because like for me, which it was different, but I grew up the only kid. I have siblings.
I can tell you spoiled.
Why do everybody say that?
Because we can tell.
What does that mean?
The psychology. I'm finna tell you.
Tell me.
I did the science.
What does that mean?
At this job, I just got what I want.
That
let me know everything I need to know about you.
I got what I wanted. So I got what I wanted because I feel like sometimes when people are at jobs, they don't get what they want. I was getting what I wanted, so that's why I stayed.
This will let me know if you're spoiled or not. Do your daddy have hair?
Do my daddy have hair?
Yeah.
Yes, my daddy have hair.
Well, you might not have been that spoiled.
So I was spoiled as a kid, absolutely. But it's funny, my mentor just said that, like, you so spoiled. I said, if I was truly spoiled, y'all, I would not be working. There would be no The Cyber Boss.
I don't know. Some women, some of y'all, and I'm aware of some of y'all talking to some wanna be a baller. Shot callers. Some of y'all talking to the shot callers. Y'all don't post about it, but, you know, I pre-everything. But you're some so of y'all funny. Still like to have your own stuff going on. So I couldn't say, I mean, I can't say you can't say that, but I feel like you have the passion behind what you do.
I do. I do have a passion. Like, so I probably would still be doing this.
I think you just want to be doing anything. That's the thing I think you wouldn't
if
like.
I had the option, if my boyfriend became a billionaire today,
he'd be working for his business.
I will. I technically do.
See?
I did his website. I'm like, I don't code. And he, yeah. So I would, if I didn't, I would work out. I love working out. I haven't been to the gym today. I'm actually kind of going kind of crazy. So when I leave here, I'm going to the gym. I would work out. I would coach. I would do like Pilates. I would coach in solid core.
It's something with cyber and Pilates that, like, all the girlies in the last couple of years have really been in Pilates. They Pilates back.
Your mind. Help your mind. In this industry, we got to take care of ourselves. And then I probably would just research. That's what I would do. If I didn't have to work, that's what I would do, obviously. And then take care of kids.
I prefer, like, to walk, run more so. I really don't like the treadmill, but I deal with it because mm-hmm. of the elements. But I more so like to walk or run. And then, well, really more so run because I could run to a destination and definitely love the weights.
I strength train for 5 days. 5 days, Monday through Friday. I do solid core once a week. I used to do it 5 days a week, but then I switched it up.
And let me ask you this, because I know we are approaching time, but I did want to, and I think, honestly, guys, I'm probably going to give y'all a part two. I don't know when, but this could have easily been 4 hours.
It really could have.
But I wanted to actually use this episode. I didn't even want it to be super like, oh, how you get into cyber, how you do this and that. Yeah. I just want them really to reintroduce to I think the second part could be whether we do a live or whatever. That could be more technical. Yeah. But I also want to ask you about, and I want to hope I'm saying it right. It's pronounced Crohn's, right?
Crohn's.
Crohn's disease. There you go. Crohn's disease. And I want to ask about that too, because I found out a family member had it. Like, I wasn't even aware mm-hmm. that they were dealing with this. Mm-hmm. And they were sharing with me a couple months ago when we were talking, we had a get together. I was like, man, I didn't mm-hmm. know that.
Yeah.
And I actually was telling them, I'm trying to say them because I know they don't want everybody to know
yeah.
what I'm talking about. I was telling them this past weekend, I was like, yeah, I'm doing an episode with a young lady who has Crohn's too. How has that been on your career? And I thought about asking about that too, because you talk about working out and stuff.
It's crazy because a lot of people who have Crohn's, some of them can't work. And it's because that's people them. Automatically think, now it impacts everybody differently. Mm-hmm. For me, I found out when I was in college. So to me, I was losing weight, but I had other things going on. I didn't know what it was. Like, me and my mama was just like, just don't come back and say it's cancer. But I was, I had a pyloric stenosis. So anybody that's watching as a doctor, don't try to correct me on verbiage, okay? I don't know. I didn't go to school for it, but that's what it's called. Your pyloric muscle is the muscle that opens up for your food to go through and digest.
Okay.
So mine wasn't fully, like, it wasn't opening. So actually, it was opening, but it was very small. So that's why I was losing weight, because my food wasn't going anywhere. It was just turning to acid, which is why the acid reflux started and all that. And I was losing weight. And, like, my mom was like, you're losing a lot of weight. Like, this is not, like, normal. So I went through several doctors. People just thought, like, it was just acid reflux and all of that. But then my pyloric muscle, or the stricture, I got like a balloon dilation, opened it up. I got that like 6 times. I hate to say it, but it had to be a reoccurring thing until they figured out what was going on. And then I went to the Mayo Clinic. And Mayo Clinic got a special place in my heart, specifically the one in Minnesota, because I was there for 5 days and they were able to tell me exactly what was going on. So it turns out I had the pyloric issue as a kid. That was almost 30 years ago. We didn't have the advanced technology to know what was going on and which, you know. But I had digestion problems as a baby. My mama, like, kind of recapped it to me, but we didn't have the technology to, like, understand what that meant. It's like, you know how people say, oh, you'll grow out of it?
Yeah.
That's literally how it is.
He can drink certain milk.
So when I found out I had Crohn's, that was during the pandemic, and I actually wanted to move to Charlotte. But then I couldn't move. That's why I didn't start my doctorate program, because I didn't understand what Crohn's was. I didn't understand how was it going to be on me. Because it's an autoimmune condition that impacts your gastro area. It's not like people forget that. So the reason why I work out so much is because stress is a trigger for a flare-up. I've been in remission for almost 6 years. If I have a flare-up, I'm fatigued for days. For days. Here, physically, like, for days. So that's why, like, I'm actually a part of an organization. It's called COGI. And they stand for helping people who are black and brown, like, you know, educating them about Crohn's, colitis. And it used to be called, they only used to focus on just Crohn's and colitis. Now they focus on all gastro, like, colon cancer and different. Anything that deals with the gastro area, like, they stand for that. Koji is what they're called. And they also fight in different states to make sure that certain laws are getting passed. Because I know some people that I'm involved in an organization with who can't work. They can't work. And it's not that they don't want to. It's just because of them trying to figure out the right medication. Some people. And then now I'm not working, so I can't pay for the medication. You know what I'm saying? So, and like, my treatment is $40,000 a year. I'm sorry, not a year. $40,000 a treatment.
Wow. Is it hereditary?
It's not. There is no, if I, listen, if anybody out there that's listening that's a doctor, let's get together and research, because there is still today, they do not know how Crohn's happens. And there's no cure. It can be one. But that's why when people talk about, I just attended BaddieCon, Dr. Danielle Eason. She talked about quantum computing.
Man, I didn't get a chance to meet her because we both spoke at Blackest Tech.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she did a very interesting workshop on quantum computing. And they were saying that how they want to use quantum computing in, like, medicine and science. And I'm like, see, this is the stuff we should be talking about. Like, with AI and all of that, won't y'all, come on, hospitals, doctors, whoever, let's put that together and start being able to.
I don't have faith in that.
You don't think with them, you don't think that will help? Like, the humans.
No. I don't have faith in them doing right by humans.
But see, I think in a different way. I don't want it to control it. I want humans to utilize it to help. I don't want it to be the other way around.
Even from that, like, we got so many smart people.
Very
if
true.
If they want the cure, AIDS have been cured. All this stuff that's like a lot of money when, it, mm-hmm. when you go to the pharmacy, mm-hmm. it's more money in selling you this than yeah. helping you out.
Well, when I sat in that, when I sat in that talk, I instantly thought about, like, somebody like me who has Crohn's mm-hmm. and think about, like, I am still able to work. I can have kids with no problem. I, like, my midwives didn't even know I had Crohn's. I told them. It was like, what? You do? Like, you know, but it's difficult.
So you had a water birth?
Me? No.
Oh, okay. You said midwives. I was like, okay.
So what's interesting, I gave birth in Texas, but what's interesting is that there are midwives who have contracts with hospitals, and they can deliver in a hospital, they can deliver at a birthing center, or they can deliver at home. So, but I think for me, being in this industry, it can be very stressful. And I thought I was going to lose my job because there was no work from home when I went to the Mayo Clinic. Because I went literally right when me and my mama got back, the world shut down. Literally. So I thought I was going to lose my job because of that. Because I asked, I said, I need to work from home because I'm having some health issues and I need to work from home. And they approved it because they like, you're a great worker. It's all right. We have, you know, they've got everything set up. So I'm blessed because there's people I know that struggle with Crohn's or colitis and they don't have a choice but to work or they can't work because they're so exhausted. So that's why I work out a lot.
Yeah.
I prioritize it and I do therapy. It's important.
For sure. Now, Ree, how can they listen to the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
And also, how can they keep in contact with you on social media?
Follow Ree the Cyberboss. Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Threads. How can you listen to the podcast? It's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Control Alt Ree. It comes out every week on Mondays.
Perfect. And we're going to help you to get that on YouTube Music as well.
Okay. See, listen, this is what I want people to also understand is my last thought. Y'all see how we both in the same industry and we both can do the same things. And we don't gatekeep. A lot of people gatekeep. I want us to get away from that. Because you could have easily been like, yep, just go ahead and listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. But the fact that you offer help and you're willing to, like, give people gems, it's appreciated. Because in this industry, we have to stick together. And that's why I love when people try to be like, oh, you copying off so-and-so because it is. But, like, if I get a podcast, everybody's podcast is going to be different because it's them. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm tired of hearing all the athletes get on podcasts and most of them are not good at it. They're not. I'm telling you, they're not. It's only reason because they have celebrity and they're popular, but they are not good.
Yeah. It's hard.
And that's why they stopped after what's called, because they was trying to get some money out of it, but a lot of them were not meant to do it. I'm able to tell who take it seriously by when they start investing into all their different things. Mm-hmm. And they get better at it. They rewatch their tape just like they did when they was playing sports.
Yep, yep.
Those will be the people that still make it here.
It's crazy because when I do my podcast, I listen to it like 3 or 4 times before I actually post it. Like before I publish it, I'll listen to it.
I used to do that when I first started. Now, because I'm the person that do all the editing, so I'm listening to it then, mm-hmm. and I'll go back through and listen to it. I remember one time I sent Destiny an episode. I was like, "Hey, why we sound like we a real podcast though?
Not a real podcast. You are a real podcast.
I know, but it's just funny because when I say that, I mean like, hey, like, I'm the only person doing like outside of this. I'm the only person doing all this other stuff.
Right.
So you would think sometimes you hear it's like, dang, who produced that? Or the audio sound good?
Right.
So that's what I'm saying, and I just start laughing.
What you use to clean up the like any background noise?
I got you. I can show you how to do all that.
Okay.
I was going to say, I was going to leave it for you to ask another thing. However, we are short, so we definitely going to run this one back.
Last thing, y'all. This is for the ladies in the industry. I got a book coming out, Words of Affirmations for Black Women in Cybersecurity. Stay tuned.
And she got a book for the ladies in cyber on how to find you a man, too.
Oh, don't put that in the air. I ain't got that, y'all.
Yet. However, I appreciate everybody for tuning in. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave us a comment below. Reach out to her. I'll have all her links in the description. And like I always say, let's stay textual. And until next time, we out. Peace.